Lance Hall here for the Metal Pits, welcoming Jessica Otten to the program today. How are you doing, Jessica?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Here to talk about your band and the new album. The band is Halifron. The album is Anatomy of Darkness, coming out October 25th on Listenable Records. Are you following up 2023's Prey? You guys wasted no time.
Absolutely. You're not the first person to say this, by the way. It's very fast. It's a year and a half between albums, and it feels a bit weird that it's this fast, but also it feels very right in this, vastly changing media world. So yeah, it feels right to do it right now, and if the tracks are there and the inspiration is there, why the fuck not?
Exactly. Now, did I hear in another interview that you've done, you actually have album number three, like, pretty well written and underway as well?
You did your research.
Yes.
Yeah. So with the first album, Prey, Ramon, who writes, let's call it the blueprints of the tracks.
Sure.
With the first album, he already had the blueprints for the second album. And I believe that he already has like the blueprints for the third album. But I'm going to promise you that it will not be that fast. We're not going to release it next year. I promise you that, because it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And we also kind of want to write the two albums that we have now.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I don't blame you. Oops. Did I lose you?
No.
Okay,
still here.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
I didn't hear anything. It's so hard to tell. Okay. Very good. Yeah, exactly. You know, you worked hard to get these two albums out quickly. Why not, take a pause and enjoy it? And do you have touring plans?
Yeah, we did. So last year we did a few cool festivals here in Europe and the UK. We did Bloodstock, we did Copenhagen the year before, and a bunch of German festivals. And that went as fast as the second album. I mean, we only exist since 2021.
Yeah.
And we had like a smaller German festival a few months back, and we looked at each other and we said, can you imagine that this is only our 10th or 11th show since the beginning of this band? And we just looked at each other like, holy shit, what's happening? Because we already did these amazing festivals. We already did Bloodstock, we did Copenhagen. All these crazy festivals we're already doing. And yeah. We're going to focus on that next year as well. Not the same festivals, of course, but yeah, the festival season is very much to our liking. So we're going to focus on that. And when it comes to touring, we recently signed to Doomstar, and I know they are working on a suitable tour for us, but I can't say anything about that yet. I'm
well,
sorry.
I mean, the thing of it is, though, with this band, while it's a new band, the players in it, including yourself and everybody else, you are what I like to call grizzled veterans of the music scene. You know?
Wow, you make me feel old, man.
No, I don't want to make you feel that old, but you guys, you have knowledge. You've come from different bands and different backgrounds and everything. So
yeah.
You are veterans of music. So, to come together that quickly is a culmination of all your skills, I would.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I mean, we've been in so many bands before this one. And it sounds arrogant, maybe, but I feel like we paid our dues when it comes to playing and also writing and recording. We did it. We did it all, like the old school way in the studio, but also like home recordings. We did small festivals. We did big festivals. We did everything. And I think that might also be the power of this band. I mean, we're still considered a young band, even though we have so much experience. But I think when we first gathered in 2021, it was right after the pandemic, we lost all of our bands and our music, and we were just like, you know what, let's start something new, let's start something fresh. And we came together and we made a bunch of agreements with each other, like, this is what we want and this is definitely what we don't want. And we also made the agreement that if within a year we didn't get the results that we wanted, we would say like, hey, we tried, but we quit. Luckily, that didn't happen, of course. I think it might have been that specific agreement that we made that, makes you let go of all things trying too hard. So we were just relaxed and we were just like, yeah, let's give it a shot. And once you let go, I guess something comes back. And I feel like that's the reason why we get all these shows as well and these festivals. And yeah, it's looking bright.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. You guys set some goals when you were formed. You achieved them. You all
Exactly.
learned from previous bands. I like
Exactly.
to say you learned a lot about what not to do,
Exactly. That's for sure. When we gathered the first time, I think we had a bigger list of things that we didn't want than the list of things that we did want. Like, we didn't want to play in small venues, and I don't want to sound arrogant, but we did all that stuff, and we know how it is, and we worked hard. I think Jeroen and Marloes were in Isegrim for how many years? What was it? 15 years, 20 years. So yeah, they paid their dues. We all paid our dues when it comes to shows and writing. So yeah, we just didn't want to do that anymore, and we just
Absolutely.
wanted to pick the cherries on the pie, I guess, or I don't know how to say it. We just want to do cool stuff, and yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the album now. I got the email, of course, that tells the whole story of everything, but for someone who isn't in my position that can read all this stuff, Anatomy of Darkness is the title of the album. There's sort of a theme here of addiction, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell
The
us a little bit about the album title and how the theme came about.
Anatomy of Darkness, I think we call it like a it's not a concept album, but a semi-concept album, if you know what I mean. Like there is one red thread in it, but it's not a real concept album. I think the idea came from Marloes. She has always been super interested in the human mind, in the human psyche. And especially when it comes to stuff like addiction. So she started reading up on addiction because also she experienced addiction from friends of her and in her close neighborhood. So she started reading up on how does an addiction form and how is that working on the human psyche. And she started reading more and more about different kind of addictions, and all without judgment, I must say that, because she doesn't judge on what the outcome of the addiction is, if you overcome it, or maybe give it a little place inside yourself, or maybe you lose. She wrote like the lyrics and thought of the idea all without judgment. So yeah, once she had all these ideas, she went to the group and said like, "Hey, what about the addiction idea? I have all these cool topics. Is this something we can use for the album?" And we were just like, "Fuck yeah, we really liked it."
And you guys covered, I was going to say, a whole gamut of addictions here. There's gamblings, there's pyromania, there's cutting, there's,
I mean, some of the addictions are more, like public, like the addiction to painkillers. But like you said, like the arson addiction is a bit more weird and a bit more. Also, if you le read the lyrics, it's a bit more open to your own interpretation. So it might be applicable to other addictions as well. It depends on the reader, I guess.
I agree. The other interesting thing I found with this album is you open and close with instrumentals.
Yes. I mean, the opening, we always use that also because we do that at live shows, and I think every band has an opening track to give a bit of a vibe to the beginning of the album. But especially Ramon always wanted to write a track without lyrics, an instrumental track, and this was the perfect concept and the perfect topic to do that. And if you listen closely to that last track, you will notice that it contains the feeling and the addiction of every track. So it's like a sum up of all the addictions. And yeah, he took the vibe for some guitar parts of every track and then made it into one big instrumental track at the end. So it's like a sum up, a conclusion of the
Cool.
addiction.
I want to touch on a couple of the tracks, and you give me your approach to the track, how you did with bass, and what you think of it, just to get your perspective on it. I'll jump to track three, Feasting on Flesh. My note here says that song is a nightmare, musically and lyrically.
It is. It's about, I don't know if it's really about the addiction, but it is about cannibalistic behavior. I've never heard of this addiction or attraction before. I don't condone either. Like I can't really think about somebody doing that. But the topic is mighty interesting. Like it's always, yeah, I guess that's what draws us to the music as well. It's always the dark idea of cannibalism. That's just That's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I read the book Alive, you know, about the plane crash there in the
Right.
Andes, you know. So yeah, I mean, you think about what would you do, you know?
Exactly. So yeah, that's I love the track, but yeah, can the with this topic, I think I have the least connection with.
All right, let's jump to track five, Buried Truth.
Yes.
I love like that news, the newscast intro, you know, that seemed like it was written from like the mind of a serial killer.
It is. And I think it's a sample from a newscaster who announced that Ed Gein was
Okay.
arrested, I think at the end of the phase or something. Yeah, exactly. So indeed about the serial killer, and which is also kind of a form of addiction, I guess. And with this track, you'll see that Marloes uses her voice in very different styles. I mean, she grunts and she screams, obviously, but she also uses her clean voice in this one. It's the only track that has her clean voice, and she didn't really wanna use it at all because she was just, you know, playing around with her voice. And then Jeroen said we should use this, and in the end, it got a place on this track. And if you listen closely, what she sings, the exact lyrics, I owe you those, but she is singing in the form of the bodies and the bones that are buried in the backyard. And they sing about releasement. It's a super interesting track, and I really recommend having those lyrics with you if you listen to that one.
Definitely. And that was the other note I had. I picked up on it. I said, I love the clean, almost like symphonic vocal. It's so light and almost like angelic, but this is a
Absolutely.
dark, dark song, you know, and the
It
contrast
is.
was
It
amazing.
is. And the first time I heard it in the pre-production, it was like, who is this? And Marloes said, like, it's me. And I was like, no way. This is so good, and it's so something different than I expected. So yeah, we get a lot of comments as well, like, who's the clean voice on that track? And we're like, it's Marloes. Step out of her comfort zone.
Great contrast. Great
Oh yeah.
con. Whoever decided to keep that in was brilliant.
It was Jeroen, actually.
Brilliant. Jump to track seven, Epitome of Perfection. This is where I'm going to bring you definitely into the fold. I'm assuming this is you on bass on the intro. There's like a bass intro
Is.
there.
Yeah. It is. That is me. It's also we play this track live already to have a bit of a feeling on how it is on during the show, but also how the public reacts to it. And this is actually one of my favorite songs to play live, absolutely, because of the bass in the beginning, but also the vibe it gives in the beginning. It's a bit like, I don't know, enchanting voodoo kind of vibes. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You come in on the bass and it's so, you know, super heavy and aggressive, and the guitar is kind of a layer over the
Yeah.
top of it.
Yeah. Exactly. It also made us realize how important the sound guy is, like but the very first time we played it and we tried it out, my bass wasn't, you know, like coming out the way we wanted. And then we saw it back on some video footage, and we were like, what happened to the fire and the aggression that this intro should have? And then we realized like the sound guy needed to, you know, make some adjustments so that people could actually hear what I
You might be
play.
hearing my dog in the background. She's rolling around up here making some
Oh,
noises. I'm like,
she's
Jenny.
accompanying you.
Yes.
Oh.
The last track I wanted to talk about, because this hits so close to home with me, was track eight, Art of the Blade. You know, you talk about cutting. I'm not going to divulge names to protect the innocent here, but I had someone very, very close to me, near and dear to me, who was involved in cutting. And there's a lyric in here that says, I keep a secret, sometimes this torture is real. Turn down emotions, hurting myself so I can feel. That just, it really helped me understand the perspective of the cutter, you know?
Exactly. And that is exactly what Marloes intended with these lyrics as well. It's always a bit difficult to write about this topic because it's so well known that people do it, and still there's such a stigma on it, like a shame on it. So it's always a bit like we need to form the words and the lyrics right for this one. We can't just, you know, fuck around. So Marloes really went in depth with this one because I think We all know people who are suffering from this addiction, unfortunately. So she really digged into this one and tried to understand what was going on in the person's head who were suffering from this. And I think she did an absolute amazing job with this one.
She definitely did. Please pass along my compliments on the fact that it's so true. As someone who has dealt with somebody in that addiction, she nailed it. She nailed it.
Well, yeah, I will tell her. Yeah, absolutely, no problem. I think she, because she, I mean, I think she did a great job on every track when it comes to the lyrics, but
She
with
did.
this one, it's, yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the album cover. That's a really great image as well, and how that fits in with everything.
So the cover, indeed, it's I don't know if people can see it, or by the time this comes out, people have seen it. So in the front, there's this dark figure. It's almost like a Lord of the Rings character, but he's completely wearing black and he's hooded. And I think you can interpret it, this figure, in any way that you like. Like, maybe he is the anathema of darkness, or maybe he is one addiction, or maybe he's an addiction luring somewhere and waiting to get you. Maybe it's the form of, while we're on the subject of Art of the Blade and cutting, like maybe it's the black dog, for example, that keeps chasing you in your lifetime. We chose this so that everybody can have an opinion on what they see in this figure and how they want to interpret, you know, it's kind of a scary figure. So yeah, if you just stare into it and let your mind go wild, and it's so adorable.
She makes a cameo, and oh, and there's our other dog. They make cameos in just about every interview I do, but I think they're going
Oh, I love this. I love, they're
to get
supporting you.
Yes.
I don't know if you got the other artwork as well. Like, if you turn the physical products around, for example, on the back, you will see the figure as well from a different angle, but you will also see a bunch of birds in the sky flying away from it. And you can, like I said, you can interpret this as maybe you've overcome your addiction, what of course would be the best outcome, but you can also see this as a manifestation of the addiction. Maybe you gave it a place in your personality, like, okay, this is me and this is part of me. Or maybe it might be the fact that the addiction won and overtook your personality. So yeah, it's very wide open for interpretation.
Yeah, definitely. The production as well was really, really good. You were going from late 90s, early 2000s production. You recorded some of this on analog?
So what we did, like with Prey, with the previous album, we did like home recordings, also because of the pandemic, of course, but
Sure.
also because we're kind of used to that way of recording. And with this one, we wanted to tap into that indeed 90s kind of vibe. And we were thinking, like, if we want to tap into that sound, why not go back to that sound, like for real? And so we did. We tried it out first because you never know what's going to happen, or the stuff that you use, if it's still, you know, giving you the results that you want. Because it wouldn't be the first time that I was like bragging about old material, and when I heard it back, or when I, you know, connected my old amps, for example. I used to be a guitar player as well, and I would listen and was like, this, you know, like it's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything worked out super well, and we did it. Felt like we did it old school, with the reamping, with the choices of amps that we made. And it was a great experience. I don't like recording in the studio because of some bad experiences in the past, but this whole process was just amazing. It was really nice. It was easy. It was very calm, and yeah, I loved it. And I think the end result is yeah, it's fucking wicked.
It is. How
It's
was it? You had some great guys doing, engineering, your production, your mixing. Hans, you helped me with his last name. Is it Pe Peter Pierce? Peters? The engineers, and the people you had mixing and mastering everything. One of his name is Hans. Last name starts with a P. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Peterson.
Okay, and Andy Klassen, right?
That's correct.
Okay, had you worked with them before?
I did not. I think Ramon worked with them before, and he knew them before as well. But I personally have not, and I also know that, for example, with Isogrin, they also have not been working with them before. So that's always a bit exciting to start working with someone new. But yeah, we met, and it was immediately like this click that, oh, it's gonna be okay.
Excellent. Do we have any videos in the pipe coming down for some tracks? I know you've got one out, right?
Yeah, we got one. We got Silent Escape. We got out. It has this little animation video, which I think turned out really well. And next week, we're gonna have the second track. It's I don't know when this is gonna be aired, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Who cares? Label's gonna be pissed, but it's gonna be Art of the Blade, actually.
Nice.
Yes, and it will have the same animation kind of video, different colors, different story, of course, but it's by the same creator. So that's gonna be cool. Like for a real music video, that's probably gonna be there, but not before the release. The reason for this is that with this album and with these specific topics of addiction, I think a music video should be really good. And we don't wanna just, like perform on a stage or be, in the garage of the neighbors and do something. We really want a music video that connects with the addiction or that, translates into the actual story that Marloes tried to tell with her lyrics. And I think that costs a bit more time to, to organize. So I'm pretty sure there's gonna be one, just not before the release date.
Okay. Let's talk about you for a moment. You alluded to the fact that you played guitar. I read that you started out on guitar. You played it for like 15 years, then you switched to bass when playing live with Bleeding Gods back in 2018, and you said to yourself, "I've been playing the wrong instrument for a while."
Wow, you really did your research. Yes. I started playing guitar when I was, I don't know, how old are you? 13, 14, something like that. And I really wanted to play guitar because, no, I really wanted to play drums, but I couldn't
Okay.
because my parents didn't allow me. So I picked guitar, obviously. And I tried and I tried and it was fun. I took some lessons, which didn't work out. So I learned everything myself. Just by playing along, and it was really nice. And I started playing in a band called Dictated, and we made death metal, and it was cool, but inside it was always a struggle for me on stage to do the things that I wanted to do. In 2018, yeah, that's correct. I got asked to play bass on in Bleeding Gods, and I thought, you know what, I'm a guitar player, I can play bass, that's how it works, right? Little did I know that's a completely different instrument, but yeah, I learned the hard way, and I went on tour with these guys and became part of the band as well, and we did so many shows, and all of a sudden I started to feel this vibe from the bass, and I was like, yo, this is really cool, something really different than guitar, and it's all these different techniques that you can do and all these different sounds, and the collaboration with the drummer obviously is something that I really missed as well as a guitar player. And at some point I just thought, like, maybe I picked the wrong instrument all these years. If I picked up a bass when I was 14, I don't know where I was right now, but yeah. So yeah, but I mean, you're never too old to find your way, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes courage because you were doing this live, right? This wasn't like something you were learning in the studios you were going along. This was
Absolutely
like,
not. I
yeah.
mean, I had the guitarist arrogance to think that I could play bass, and I,
Right.
of course, I had the tracks and I rehearsed a little bit and I just played the riffs I would play on guitar, but then on bass, and I got away with it for the first couple of shows, of course. But yeah, you learn very soon that you need different techniques and different stamina as well,
Yeah.
to be playing bass.
Yeah, 'cause bass, first off, it's heavy,
Yeah, absolutely. Like the muscles in your arm are
Right.
so being treated so different than from playing guitar. And I still notice this because it's not that long. Honestly, if you think about it, it's only been 6 years. I still sometimes notice when I have a long show, if I have like a headline show or whatever, and you're playing for an hour, like the muscles in my upper arm are just like, whoa, okay, calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can really hurt. And at some point I even had like my wrists be really thick after playing, like they would be swollen.
Oh
Like, what the fuck did I do? Oh
yeah.
yeah, it's still, yeah. I love it. I love to play bass, and I don't think I'll ever go back to guitar. I have a guitar still, just to write, to have a riff or something. It's easier on guitar, of course.
Did you, once you switched to bass, did you kind of try to chart your own course, or was there anybody else on bass that influenced you along the way that you listened to that you picked up things from?
Honestly, like back in the days, I had Guitar Heroes, of course, which didn't mean anything to me anymore. But Bass Heroes, I didn't look up to anybody, not at all, until I saw a US band. They were playing in Europe. It was called Vitriol. And I saw that. I think he just quit the band. But I saw him and I was like, whoa, that is a good bass player. But yeah, he's not like, I didn't grow up with him, or, but he stuck with me. Like, one day I want to play bass like this dude.
Okay, very
So
cool.
yeah, check it out. Check out some of the live shows that he did. I think he quit the band in the meantime, but yeah, whoa.
Very cool. We're talking with Jessica Otten, bass player for Halifron, their album Anatomy of Darkness coming out October 25th on Listenable Records here for the Metal Pit today. Jessica, before I ask, I like to end with silly questions. Hopefully, these are questions you've never been asked before, but I.
I hope so. Let's go. I'm
You
ready.
want to? You want to? I was going to say before I do that though, was there anything you didn't get to talk about with the album that I didn't
Nah,
cover?
I've been doing interviews all week. It's we done enough.
Okay. All right.
Let's
Sounds
go
good.
with the.
Let's have a little fun. All right. We're getting close to Halloween. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do.
Have you ever seen one?
Maybe not seen one, but definitely felt one.
Okay. What is something, and I know you work in music, even when you're not playing in a band, you do music promotion and stuff like that. You're always involved in music. What is something outside of music that you consider yourself to be fairly good at?
Keeping my plants alive.
Okay.
I love plants, and I have so many of them in the house. My husband doesn't like it very much, but yeah, I think I'm really good at it. For some reason, they blossom when I touch them.
All right. Favorite toy growing up as a child?
Barbie.
Barbie.
I'm just saying things that come to my head like
Yeah,
instantly.
exactly.
That's how it works.
Favorite topping for your pizza?
A cheese?
Cheese. Okay. If you could blink and appear anywhere in the world instantly, where would you want to go to?
Spain.
Spain.
I've been to Spain so many times, but it's my favorite country and I just want to move there and be left alone. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Would you usually travel heavy or light?
Lights. As light as possible. With musical gear, light as possible, but also for holidays, as light as possible.
If you could have been born in another era, what era would you like to be born
That's a very good question. I would say like the 18th century. Oh no, maybe I would have been burned
in?
as a witch because I'm very good with plants and stuff. So maybe a bit later, like the 1900s. Oh, then again, I can't vote and shit. Maybe this is the best time.
Would you rather have wings to fly or gills so that you can swim underwater perpetually?
Wings to fly. I am
Wings to fly.
extremely afraid of the depth of water.
Okay. This one I love to ask musicians because this is always an interesting one. Would you rather have the power to be invisible or to read minds?
Read mind. Oh, Let's go with invisible.
Given your choice of household chores, that is, household chores, dishes or laundry? Would you rather do
Laundry.
dish laundry?
Laundry.
Okay. Last music you listened to other than your own?
Let's see what's in my Spotify list. I think I know already. Yeah, it's Anal Natrak.
Okay. If you could pick a television show to have a song from Anatomy of Darkness placed in, what TV show would you pick?
I would love, no, seriously, I think a TV series or something like Chernobyl or something. But I would love it if The Office could just, have one of the tracks in one of the episodes if they would still make them.
Okay. Last one, and this is the one we have the most fun with. If they were to make a biopic of your life, what actress would you pick to play you? And it's your movie, your life. You can pick anybody.
Oh my God. Who would play me? I don't know.
You don't know?
I
Okay.
really don't know. I really don't know.
You don't have a
I don't
favorite
even know who
actress
my
you would
favorite
pick?
actor is anymore.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah.
that's okay. That's okay. All right, I'll ask you this. So this will probably be a whole lot easier, and we'll get back into the music thing. Say you get a tour booked for this album. Who would you like to go out on? Who would be your dream tour to go out with, your dream band?
Demon Warrior. Easy, easy, easy. Yeah, I grew up with that band so much, and you can probably hear that in the album as well. But yeah, that would be amazing. I've seen Demon Borgia last summer, and it was just crazy.
Yeah, excellent. So the album comes out October 25th on Listenable Records, called Anatomy of Darkness. I'm assuming on your Big Cartel page, there's going to be packages and stuff like there is for Prey, with
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be there. Also via the website of Listenable, of course. They ship worldwide. So, and otherwise, I mean, just send us a message and we'll get stuff fixed.
And if somebody wanted to send you a message, where would they send it to?
That could be on our socials. There's also an email address there. I think we even have a website. I'm not sure, though.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. I appreciate your time today, Jessica. I've had a lot of fun talking with you.
Thank you
And
so much. Thank you so much. This was a fun interview.
I appreciate that very, very much. May all your travels be safe and your shows sold out.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.